is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
It's very promising for the future.
Stevenson again. Ramondre Stevenson has his third touchdown of the game. Boosting through for 35.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a tier Tuesday. Tiers are up at Jones and Keefe. Go check them out. Got the Patriots on a tier all to themselves, Keefe.
A little lonely at the top.
The best around.
That's right.
You can go seek those out. Give us feedback, of course. Everybody agrees, as usual, with the tiers. We'll get to a Keefe for Madness at 12:45, and it is also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us now, as he does every Tuesday at high noon. Brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I'm great. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Very good.
Great to be back talking football with you, Tom. What do you think of the Pats draw against the Chargers?
A good one, and I'm sure the Chargers look at the Patriots across the field and say, we don't mind playing them either. The Patriots are susceptible to rushing attacks, as we've seen later in the year. Toss out what happened against Miami with no A-chain and a couple of guys who were missing on their offensive line. And you realize that Omarion Hampton is going to be a player that the Chargers will try to feature frequently against the Patriots. They don't want to drop back, although the Patriots pass rush is not one that's going to really expose the Chargers necessarily. But I think for the Patriots, it's a great matchup. There's a guy that I rely on. It's called unexpectedpoints.com. And he does all the analytics, takes everything into account. And his power rankings, he has the Chargers as the 15th best team in the National Football League, the only team that makes the playoffs whose points over expected offensively and defensively combined to put them behind virtually every playoff team, not virtually.
What's your take on Justin Herbert? He seems to be a pretty polarizing quarterback when you talk to different people.
I think he's talented, but he seems to skate from blame frequently because of, it's Anthony Lynn. Oh, it's the offensive line. Oh, he's under siege. I've seen guys under siege not make the mind-numbing mistakes that he does. He makes a lot of bad plays. Drake May has been under siege, and he doesn't have the same tendency. And I think that's where McDaniels has been absolutely a godsend for May and Ashton Grant and whoever else deserves the credit. So what May's development has been is he just won't do stupid things to find out whether it works or not. And Justin Herbert does it, and Josh Allen does it, and virtually every one of the fun quarterbacks in the league does it. But May has already been curbed of that because he's working with a coaching staff that says you can't do that stuff. We're going to lose if you do that stuff. And now May has seen the byproduct of – oh, so if we don't do that stuff, we might win 14 games with an average team? Yep. So my feeling on Justin Herbert is he does too many stupid things. But we watched him last year throw flat-footed and just absolutely demolish the Patriots here.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. 40-7 was the game last year that might have been the final nail in the coffin for Gerard Mayo. When you look at this weekend's game, Tom, and I agree, it's a good draw for the Patriots. Patriots have had a successful year at 14-3, any way you break it down. 2 seed in the AFC, lost on a tiebreaker for the 1 seed. They're at home. Meanwhile, Justin Herbert hasn't won a playoff game in 2 tries. Harbaugh lost his playoff debut with the Chargers a year ago. Who do you think is facing more pressure on Sunday?
Oh, I definitely think it would be the Chargers. for the Patriots, they've arrived at the station hours before they were supposed to pull in. And while I talked yesterday, and we'll continue to for the week, because I think it's an interesting aspect of this, the playoff game and what happens in the playoffs counts 50% of your grade if it was a class. Because we can talk – I personally, because of the Patriots' margin of victory, because of – which is 170 points, the second greatest margin of victory or point differential in the league this year. They took care of the ass schedule that they faced. They did all they could against it. Still, people are not going to get under the hood and look at the fact that the Patriots were 6-0 and the Rams were 4-2 against common opponents. They're just going to say, look, it's this one of the historically worst schedules in football history. What do you want? So the Patriots have that around their neck coming into the playoffs. They can dispel that and dispatch that for the people who would need it to be dispelled by having a win and maybe two in the playoffs. That's all it takes. If you walk out and face plant, that game counts more than 50% of your grade, and people are going to say, yeah, you weren't that good. Maybe you'll be good next year, but now you have some scar tissue to deal with, too. Good luck!
Tom, one of the big stories, or two of the big stories, I guess, back-to-back going into the final game of the regular season was Steph Diggs and Christian Barmore and the off-field incidents with them. Didn't seem to be a distraction at all for them or the team on Sunday. Do you kind of think that just the rest of the way that's not going to be much of an issue and they'll deal with it in the offseason? Or what's your interpretation of what's going on there?
Yeah, I think exactly the former of what you said. They'll just, you know, react to the legal process as it plays out. Unless those guys make it a distraction by coming to work and not being able to do their work, then I don't think it rises to the level of being a distraction for anyone else. It's like, you know, as I said, you root for your coworkers to have things go well for them, but you can still do your own job no matter how much chaos is going on for them, unless it's some tragedy that just distracts you every time you look at them. So I just don't think that we spend a lot of time on distractions. I think team-wide distractions are much more difficult to deal with, coach firings or coach speculation or something like that, than individual off-field things. And as I said Sunday, we talk about the football distractions because it's what's germane to the reason where that player is on our minds. But you can also presume innocence and support that player while not casting an individual, an alleged victim who clearly had something happen to them, is somebody who's completely made something up out of whole cloth. And I think that that was an important side light to last week. You know, support for an employee can be inferred to mean denial, I don't know, or lack of support for the accuser. And these are people who are in the community, who live in the community, who, you know, and these employees have been brought in to be part of the community. So that's the aspect I like to try and keep in mind myself when it comes to these conversations about players and off-field activity.
Do you think it's going to
make sense?
Do you think it's going to impact whether or not Steph Diggs is back on the team next year?
No, I can't imagine it would. I mean, the guy's in tears at his locker talking about how incredible it's been here. I can't get in his head. He seems like he can be a little bit of a mercurial guy, or at least he has been in his past. So maybe he feels differently in February, March, or April. But right now, I don't know why he'd want to uproot and go someplace else.
Oh,
doing pretty well here.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even asking on that side of it. I was actually more like, do the Patriots for sure want him back next year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's certainly a good question, Rich, too, considering I don't know how this is going to play out. And again, when you read the police report, it's like, okay, well, something happened. So how much does that agitate the Patriots? Or do they just say, okay, Steph, that's not what happened. You said that's not what happened, and we're going with that. So I don't know.
Look, obviously a lot to play out there, but I feel less secure about him being back based on that. We don't know how it's going to play out moving forward. But I agree with you. The police report, which we know top to bottom here, is something clearly happened, I would say, there. When it comes to your Drake take of the week, which we haven't gotten to yet, Tom, presented by your New England Chevy dealers, together, let's drive. The loser label gets attached to these quarterbacks pretty quick when they drop a playoff game. It happened to Herbert after one. It happened to Lamar after like one or two early in his career. Are you worried at all about that sticking to Drake May, or is that way too early after just one playoff loss in an MVP caliber season?
It's not too early. I think the loser label would be slow to be affixed to him. I think the work in progress label would be affixed to him more readily. Like, for instance, remember when Kyler Murray played in a playoff game a couple of years ago? Mm-hmm. It was one of the worst playoff performances I've ever seen in my life. It was embarrassing. You can't play like that. If Drake May goes from a guy who completes 72% of his passes in the regular season for generally about 250 yards, two touchdowns, and runs for 40 yards in every game, and he walks out and he completes 43% of his passes, then you're like, wow, okay, well, what was different? It was a playoff game. He couldn't deal with it. If he goes out and completes 65% of his passes, two touchdowns, one pick, the team's in the game the whole day, I don't think you're really going to be looking at him. But what Trevor Lawrence did a couple of years ago in burping up that lead to the Chargers was, or excuse me, what Herbert did in burping up that lead to invert, that's the kind of thing you remember. Some of the performances that Lamar Jackson has had, those are the things you remember. Resumes are built in the regular season and legacies are built in the postseason. There's a reason why we would still take Julian Edelman over Wes Welker, or Eli Manning is revered in a way that Dan Marino is not. And it's not because Eli Manning's a better quarterback. It's because of what he did in the postseason. So we will, it's 50% of your grade. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the performance of Drake May. And if he throws it over somebody's head in the first quarter and hits a linebacker in between the numbers, then you'll say, no, looks like the playoff game got to him a little bit here. Inevitably.
Well, the MVP award, Tom, is just a regular season award. So who would get your vote, Drake May or Matthew Stafford?
It would be May, and it's not, as people like to say, and it's not even that close. Because when you combine everything, May's completion percentage, his team's record, the players around him, the production through the air and on the ground, which trumps the passing yards. The fact that he's thrown downfield as much as he has and still has this ridiculous completion percentage. There's nothing that announces Matthew Stafford as the player who deserves it aside from touchdown passes. And as we've looked at it, the touchdown passes that he's thrown, a significant number of them have been from 1 or 2 yards to players who are really friggin' good. No one was banging down the door to get Mac Hollins or Steph Diggs or Kayshon Booty, who was probably available in trade for any team who wanted him back in the spring.
Tell you what, the takes.
Hey, we're back!
The take was too hot there from Corin on the MVP. Is that what was going on? Tom's
the whole system.
Hide your wife, hide your kids. Here's a hot take.
Tom, that was too hot on the Drake May MVP take. That was the Rams and Matt Stafford censoring you there.
Unfortunately, we can't use that every week for the Drake take sound because we'd probably all get arrested. You can't fake one of those. So as people like to say, it's not even really that close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agree or no?
Drake May. I guess.
I think it's close.
It's
but
hard not
all
to
the
sound
things,
like a homer.
All
but
the things
we
you highlighted
May,
are, yeah. All the things
we
you highlighted to me are, it is close, but all the borderline things, it tiebreakers is. Are in favor of Drake May, I would say.
And you know the people that vote on this stuff, Tom. Who do you think will win, and then like how close do you think it'll be?
I think May will win. I gave up my vote this year. I think I told you guys because I wasn't doing the All-Pro stuff, and I just got in the weeds on it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. They're weighted votes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you vote for 5 different individuals. I would imagine that May is going to be 1 or 2 on every single ballot of the 50. There might be people who would drop Stafford lower. Somebody wants to look at an outstanding season and says, you know what? Nobody played better than Myles Garrett in the entire league. I want to put him up at 2. You know, some crap like that. So I think that May will win because I think that May will be 1 or 2 on every single ballot. And I think that, at least in my estimation, and I can't speak for all 50, the great majority of us doing the voting, and the voting concluded yesterday, we spend a lot of time on the stuff, so you don't, especially now that the votes are public, you don't want to look stupid. So you better have your logic airtight. And the fact that Bill Barnwell, for instance, or Mike Sando, or various analytics sites are pointing out to the voters who do their research, May has really been better. There's very few places you can find. Find me an analytics site, actually, that is saying right now, or find me a national pundit who's saying it should be Matt Stafford. You can't.
Well, there's pundits saying it.
Brady and
Orlovsky and guys like that. But yeah, I think their whole argument is legacy and career achievement sort of thing.
I don't think it's funny, too, because I didn't think Brady's contention was that. I think Brady said that as a throwaway. I didn't think that was his reasoning.
What, you think it was more about McDaniels?
Exactly. It was more. No, he really hasn't gotten under the hood. He goes, it's 45 touchdowns. And he wasn't saying because Drake May will have additional opportunities, I would give it to Stafford. He was saying it as a consolation prize. I'm going to give it to Stafford. And I know Drake May had a good year, and he'll have other opportunities. He'll have other opportunities. I don't think that the two, maybe it was, I'm just trying to infer it, but there was nothing in what he said that made him say that the reason I'm voting for Stafford is because the other guy has more opportunities. We would have to do Zapruder for
that. Yeah, double check, because there was also a lot going around that on the other side was just more like, well, Stafford deserves it. There's a lot of like lifetime achievement for Stafford, almost as much as there was May has his whole career. And I'm like, well, neither one is a good reason, but yeah.
Yeah, and no one deserves an MVP. You deserve to have your number retired. You deserve to have
on the Hall of Fame,
all that crap. You know, you a halftime show in 3 years where they try to put you in the Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
No one deserves MVP.
Okay.
It's a lifetime thing.
He's Tommy Curran. Check out his
Can
work.
Can we keep talking? I'm having fun.
Well, is another EAS test? No, you can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Bye, kids. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Tommy Curran thinks May will win. That's interesting.
That is really interesting because you and I were both sort of resigned to the fact that it's like it's our pick. Maybe it's like a real local pick, but are enough national writers and you know people that cover other teams, are they going to see it the same way? Because the touchdowns does jump out at you for Matthew Stafford. But
well, he makes
Mina Kimes, I think, is one that has a vote.
Yep,
and she already said
voting for May.
So, all right. So there's that.
It's an interesting point by Tom, just like, and this is why votes should be public for stuff like this. This is why, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame and all that should be public.
You get shamed for your bad vote.
You should have to defend it if you're given the power of being able to vote for awards like this.
They're like, why did you vote for this person? Why did you not vote for this person?
I don't know. I just like Matt Stafford.
Tough answer.
Yeah, you should have to
shame.
Be able to answer.
Shame. Shame.
So, like, I don't know. I haven't even checked today. Is Stafford still the betting favorite? I know he was yesterday. I didn't even bother checking. I assumed it kind of just would settle in as that. But that's interesting that Tom thinks he is now going to win. We'll see if he's right. But he was like, I think May will finish first or second, and maybe Stafford's the guy who drops on ballots, which would surprise me, but I hope Tom is right.
I hope so, too.
617-779-7937. We have a key for madness for you on the way about a half an hour from now, as we do every Tuesday at 1245. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. We're right back with more thoughts on the Pats and Chargers Sunday in Foxborough.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Just tell you that they play great defense. They're very sound. They're good tacklers. They're physical. They get off the field on third down. They're good in the red zone. They run the football. It's a physical football team. They possess the football. They lead the NFL in time of possession. They have good, very good quarterback play. They're well coached. They play with technique and fundamentals. The game, they don't panic, you know, one way or the other. They kind of stick to their game plan and wear you down and execute in critical situations. So a lot of respect for them, certainly what they've done in a short amount of time.
Mike Vrabel on the Chargers. Huge matchup for the Pats on Sunday. We've been talking about it on the last couple of days, specifically all day long here on Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up. 617-779-7937. Whole bunch of texts weighing in as Tommy Curran says Drake May, not just his pick for MVP, but Curran thinks he will get the most votes and win MVP, which I'm surprised at. Betting markets favor Stafford even slightly.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty clear cut between the two, because one of Curran's takes was it's now is you don't just vote for one person anymore. You vote for five, and it's weighted, right? You get whatever, how many points for first all the way down to fifth. And he thinks that Drake will be more consistently
on
top two.
Top two on
and
all
Stafford
ballots.
Won't be. Whereas I feel like just with all the discussion over the last month, it'll be those two. And then everybody else might honestly have a different third person.
Right.
Right. I feel like it's a two-person race.
I agree with you. Yeah. Like, it might be Josh Allen. It might be Garrett. Taylor's fallen off way too far. Like, I don't even JSN fell off a little bit at the end of the year.
I'm not
even
sure who the third person will get a sniff. Like, Puka Nacua will get, like, offensive player of the year votes. And guys
Trevor
like
Lawrence
that.
Probably get votes.
McCaffrey. Yeah.
Maybe.
Might get, like, a fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lawrence, so. Like, Lawrence or, like, Bo Nix. You're talking about, like, a winner? I mean, Josh Allen will probably finish third.
I mean, Allen would easily be third on my ballot. Not even close.
Your guy Sam Darnold?
Would not
get
a
nice
vote.
Season.
I don't know what I would do with him, but he wouldn't get a top five vote. So I don't know what I'd do after the top three, but I would go May, Stafford,
Allen. Leave a blank. Yeah. I'm voting for three.
That's it. What do we have here? What do we have here? Guys, it's not close. This is Stafford in a landslide.
I don't know how you could say that.
Me either.
If you want to say it's Stafford,
Stafford
or May, but just to do like it's a blowout.
I don't think
Stafford has more touchdowns. Do you know who led the league in touchdowns passes last year?
Lamar?
No, not the guy who won the MVP. Joe Burrow.
Oh, Burrow won in touchdowns. Well,
yeah,
I knew
the most touchdowns.
I figured it wasn't Allen. Now, Allen had a bunch of rushing touchdowns last
Allen
year.
Allen was like, in passing touchdowns last year, Allen was, I don't know, ninth?
Right,
like,
but this was an argument for Allen last year, and it's an argument for Drake May now.
Right. That's not the only stat.
Allen runs for like another double-digit touchdowns every year. May had an extra four on the ground. Guys, completion percentage is a managed stat. If you take no chances and you have a good run game and you play weak teams, anyone can have a high completion rate. Well, I agree with that.
I'm not going to insult the person that just texted that in, but that's stupid.
Well, it's stupid in regards to Drake May.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not seeing the whole picture then.
No, Mac Jones had a high completion percentage because he throws 5 yards in front of the line to the running back.
If you're going
to
cherry pick a stat, right? Because you're right. There can be quarterbacks in college, especially, that you see they throw the ball 1 yard, 2 yards, and their completion percentage is high. But what if you also lead the league in yards per attempt? How can that equal out? So nobody is throwing the ball further down the field than Drake May.
Do you know this is a perfect set. So Drake May is number one in completion percentage, 72%. He's one of like six quarterbacks to be north of 70, I think. He set the Patriots all-time record. But he also led the league in yards per attempt.
Yeah, how many times has that happened?
I don't think it has.
I think I heard Schein mention it yesterday. I don't remember the names, but the two other people have done it, one MVP.
Oh, really?
It was probably like Mahomes,
so it was Mahomes and Peyton Manning.
Oh, I didn't even think it had happened.
I thought it would have been a first, but either way.
Okay, you know who is second and third on the list? This is perfect. Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. Now, those are guys who have and I'm surprised they both qualify.
Yeah.
Those are guys who both have manufactured high completion percentages because of the Shanahan
McCaffrey.
Office and where they throw, and they just They throw to the tight end and the running back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that completion percentage can be very misleading.
Oh, I would almost. I get what the texter's saying. Like, you could almost throw it out if he averaged 4 yards a throw or whatever. But when he's leading the league, and specifically head to head versus Stafford, he has a higher completion percentage and takes more chances downfield.
Right.
Has a higher yards per attempt. And quarterback rating, if you want to throw that in, quarterback rating is better. If you do total yards, because everyone's like yards and touchdowns. If you do rush yards and pass yards for Drake May, just total yards
from scrimmage. Total yards, he has the advantage over Stafford.
Yeah.
Yep.
And wins.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have two all-pro wide receivers.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Joe Burrow led the league in 2021 in completion percentage with 8.9 yards per attempt, did not get an MVP vote.
Wait, so he...
He did what Drake May did and didn't even get a vote. But
Burrow in 2021 did
both? 2021.
Well, he owns. They're going to rename
the
comeback player.
10-6, though, so that's probably why.
Yeah, it could be. Right, exactly. 10-6.
Oh, yeah, that's also
team.
Different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some phone calls here. This is somebody who I know can't possibly be voting for Drake May if she has a vote.
Do you think she has a vote?
Susan in Worcester. Hello, Susan.
Gee, you read my mind, huh?
Sure did.
I did. I just read the subject line on the screen, but yeah.
Okay, what I want to really say, I want to be serious, okay? I think he has a great year. He did one. I didn't think he could do what he's doing. But you know what? He hasn't won nothing yet. He hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't won the Super Bowl. Until he does that, then I'm going to give him his kudos. But listen.
Real quick. Until he does which? If he wins a playoff game, you're going to give him his kudos, or he has to win a Super Bowl? Until he does which?
Super Bowl. He's got to win a Super Bowl.
I got to ask you real quick. Have you given Josh Allen his kudos?
Of course I have.
Has he won a Super Bowl?
No.
Mousetraps.
No, he hasn't.
Just got
mousetraps. All right, okay, you won the, all right, you got me there. But listen to about the media now. Good. I want to talk about the media.
Good. I know you do.
Good, good.
All I heard about with the great Aaron Rodgers, I am a big Rodgers fan, and he was sensational Sunday. The thing about Rodgers, I listened to the talk shows in Boston.
Yep.
All he cares about is MVPs, and he don't even care about the Super Bowl. And here you guys, all of you, like Monica Lewinsky on her knees with Clinton, begging for him to get the MVP.
Good Lord.
It's your number one thing. It's your number one thing instead of the Super Bowl. So you people are hypocrites.
Okay.
And Tommy Tunia, he's never right. I'm more right than he is, and he gets paid for what he does.
Well, he's had a tough go. She's not wrong. He's had a tough go with a few takes this year.
Yeah, that's fine. It happens to the best of us. But I was just trying to get some consistency there. So she won't give Drake May kudos till he wins the Super Bowl.
No, she wants consistency, Keith.
Yeah, but again, she can't hype up any other quarterback, I guess, besides Mahomes and Hurts.
She does make a halfway decent point about Aaron Rodgers. We're all like, he doesn't care about winning. He just cares about MVPs. And now we're like, yeah, Drake May, MVP is like super important. That is a bit inconsistent.
No, no, no. I don't even know if I'm saying, well, I've always said it's important, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Lamar. So I'll be consistent there. I just think with Drake May, we're talking about how there really seems to be two legit candidates. I think he deserves it. It is a separate thing. It has nothing to do. He could have the best game on Sunday or the worst game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Doesn't impact if he should or shouldn't be the MVP of this year. But you can't hype up guys like Josh Allen or Lamar. Right. If your whole thing is they have to win a Super Bowl,
well,
Josh Allen's never even been to one.
Keith, she bent the knee right away. She said, you got me there.
Okay.
Well, which, credit to her. You mousetrapped her. She acknowledged the mousetrap. She even acknowledged at the beginning that Drake May has been way better than she thought.
We didn't get her MVP, though. Who does she think should be?
I'm going to guess Stafford. Well, might be Allen.
Oh, Stafford won a Super Bowl, though.
Oh,
so
Stafford,
it could be Stafford.
Stafford has won a Super Bowl. That's true.
He can only be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
That's true.
Fine.
All right. Okay. More phone calls. Tyler's in New Hampshire. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, so first off, I think that woman that just called in needs to be put in a padded room. As long as she can keep calling, I don't care what room
she's calling.
There's a phone in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she needs to be in a padded room. I don't know what's going on in Worcester, but anyway. So my take on the whole Drake May situation, like, trying to not be too biased because I'm a huge Drake May fan, I'm a huge Patriots fan. Look at what he's done with the little weapons that he has compared to Matthew Stafford. And his deep ball has been so much better. He's also doing stuff on the run. And the whole, like, argument of, like, the soft schedule, nobody was talking about that in the preseason. They were projected to go 9-8. And look at them now. They're 14-3. And, oh, wait, because they're 14-3, now the whole soft schedule thing is getting taken into account. I think it's bull.
Well, we talked a lot about the soft schedule in the offseason. We knew it was going to be an easy schedule.
No, we did. That was part of the reason why we took the over-run wins.
Correct. I had them at 9.
Yep.
You had them at 10 because of the easy schedule, and they exceeded expectations on the easy schedule.
Yeah.
But we definitely talked a lot about the easy schedule.
But I also think if the easy schedule is your main argument for Stafford, I think you have to point out look at the defenses that they're going up against.
Or what Curran said. Look at how they fared against common opponents.
Yeah,
May did better against the same opponent Stafford faced this year. He won more games. He had better stats. Tim and Brockton, I don't really think this is the argument, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Team Susan. Let's go all day. We don't care about that MVP talk. Let him get a chip. Team Susan all day. I want what she's drinking. Let's go. Let's go, Team
Susan.
All
right, Tim. I mean, it might be more than just drinks, but I would say they can be separate things. Both are important.
No one argues that a Super Bowl is more important than an MVP. No one argues that.
Nobody does.
I would rather the Super Bowl than the MVP. Like, that's the stupidest thing ever. I don't know. Of course we all want that.
I think everybody would.
The idea is Drake May could do both win the MVP in the meantime. Yeah.
Well, the other idea.
Team Susan all day.
The other idea is the regular season is over.
Yeah.
The people assigned to vote on the MVP had to turn in their votes. So we're talking about it now. That's what it is.
Yep.
This isn't an either or would you rather. It isn't.
Right.
Like that. It's pretty one-sided.
One's done. Text line is asking, is it just a regular season award?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And that's why we're talking about it.
So the whole, this is why
nobody's choosing. Now we're confusing all of the answers and questions here.
Okay.
What would you rather have?
Get you
a guy who can do both.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But I would take the Super Bowl. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to, this matchup with the Chargers. We'll get back to who has more pressure on them, and does that matter on Sunday. Plus, we have a Kiefer Madness for you next.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it. Jim, Liz, do you know how many eggs a chicken can lay?
This is ridiculous. This is a pig on Victor Place in the city of Buffalo. Where did this come from?
Investigators say the two believed Anthony Constantine and Brian Reynolds.
It said, "Round." I just cut walk. I seen it, seen me, see it.
All right, time for the madness. Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got two stories today, if we have time for them, Jones.
Okay.
Let's start with this one in Florida. This one's in Florida. Let's see what happened.
Meanwhile, in Lake City, police officers announced the arrest of a suspect who robbed a business.
Okay, robbed a business. Okay. What is going to stand out about this gentleman who robbed a business?
Inside job. He worked there,
inside
obviously.
Job.
Yeah,
obviously.
Of course.
Okay,
I mean, do I even need to say it?
No. Anything else? Anything else that's going to stand out that you'd be able to describe the person?
Oh, really?
The description.
Really tall.
A really tall person. A really tall inside job.
No Wadlow.
No.
May he rest
in
peace.
Yeah. No. The great.
Yeah.
The gentle giant. Not so. You're saying maybe really tall
like a really,
person,
yeah.
Magnum Dom.
Okay, Nick coming in with an idea.
I'm not ruling it out if he's super tall. But,
okay, yeah. All right, let's see.
Meanwhile, in Lake City, police officers announced the arrest of a suspect who robbed a business while naked. Employees told officers,
"Naked,
the
man.
Naked thief, naked
might've,
man,
might have been tall too.
Could have been
naked tall man
specifically. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Naked guy robbing a shop."
Then on December 23rd, a 25-year-old Kobe Watkins only covered his face and threatened them with a piece of cloth wrapped around what they believed was a weapon in his
hand. Oh, thank God.
Hand.
Okay,
so he did have a face mask on, so he was preventing COVID spread. That was good.
Yeah,
nothing else. Just a weapon, maybe a weapon.
Magnum Dom.
Okay, Nick, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
They didn't get into the full description there.
One weapon.
Covered his mask and then robbed the place.
Watkins took more than $1,000 from a cash box. Officers identified him after reviewing surveillance footage.
They had seen everything.
Yeah.
At that point, they'd seen everything.
Some poor intern at the police department got saddled with.
Left nothing to the imagination.
Like, you're going to need to go through a lot of photos.
Guys, we got reams of info here. Lots of info.
See those binders over there? You better start flipping through them. We need to identify the suspect. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't want to work here anymore.
I think I quit.
Watkins was taken to the hospital for medical evaluation before being booked into the Columbia County Jail.
Yeah, they got him. They found him.
Okay.
They got their man. They got their man.
He's got a good, like,
yeah,
excuse. He's
sir, where are your clothes?
If he throws some clothes on by the time they get him, they're like,
who,
couldn't
me?
Couldn't be the same guy.
You don't think it's me, do you? Yeah. So he got a mask, got $1,000, and also arrested. Let's go to a creature feature, though. This is a creature feature
nice
story.
A Morristown pawn shop runs a tight ship.
Okay. Pawn shop in Morristown.
All right.
Tight ship.
I'm in. These are the details.
But 24/7 security and plenty of surveillance cameras couldn't stop this break-in.
We come in the door about 8, probably 8:20, and it was a disaster.
Not a naked man. Could have been the same story.
It's not.
I'm telling you right now, it is not the same story.
All right, so what was it?
Yeah. It's a disaster.
Well, another inside job, obviously.
I know. That goes without saying at this point.
This is the tall man.
This could be the tall man.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Trade Center owner Loretta Bryant showed up Sunday to a mess, but this wasn't your typical pawn shop problem, and the suspect wasn't looking for cash.
I went back and I said, "What is it?" And there was the little Chester. The little brown capuchin monkey sitting.
Oh,
a brown
Chester, the little capuchin monkey?
Capuchin monkey, yeah.
The capuchin?
I'm unfamiliar with it. She knew the exact type of monkey. I don't know if that was knowledge that she already had or if she, like, looked into it.
She knew his name.
She knew his name, Chester. It's a for sure inside job, John.
Capuchin monkey. Oh, this is like
a little guy.
Like the outbreak monkey.
Like the outbreak monkey.
Yeah.
A little bit. Or the monkey in the Hangover? Same one? No?
Hang on.
Hangover good question. 2, I think.
Yeah, good question.
Hangover 2. Of course, it was a tiger in Hangover 1.
I only saw that. Oh, no, different than that.
Oh, okay.
Hangover right. monkey. Yeah, I'd stick with outbreak monkey. Capuchin monkey, yeah.
Yeah, she knew exactly who it was.
Yeah.
This is interesting, though. We had a couple weeks ago, we had that story of that raccoon that got into the liquor store and just got passed out drunk by the
wasted. Yeah.
This is a different story. This is another animal breaking and entering.
The little brown capuchin monkey sitting right in that door.
The furry culprit made his way in through a doggy door.
That's not the guy who broke in
different
naked.
Guy. Nope, different guy.
That's not the furry culprit.
Different
okay,
guy.
Different one.
You have a doggy door, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be pretty easy to get
frowned upon. Yeah.
Ask the pawn shop cats. All captured on surveillance video.
There was monkey messes everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what that means.
I've seen them in the zoo.
Monkey messes. That's what they say. Not only is it inhumane to have a pet monkey, but they say you got to put diapers on them.
Oh,
because
no.
They'll catch it in their hand and throw it around the house. That's real. That's a real thing. I did my research on pet monkeys once.
Really?
Yeah, like you, it's a nightmare.
And Chester sounds like...
He's into
especially
that kind of
an offender of that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a crime of opportunity and a little monkey business.
Ah,
good use of monkey business.
Nailed it.
Finally. Yeah. I was waiting for that.
He really hated computer keyboards. There was 3 computer keyboards.
You think you got in an argument with Grok like me? That's why.
Yes.
That's why he hates computer keyboards. Yeah, he got frustrated.
Keith screaming at Grok. Yeah, that's
it's
why.
It's a scene from Zoolander. Yeah. We need to get inside the computer.
Just bashed. The keys were laying in the floor.
In a store full of instruments, it was a jam session no one signed up for.
There was bags of potatoes busted from our crackers. I watched him open a pack of crackers and eat some.
He's eating crackers and chips and playing the musical instruments.
Well, at least he wasn't wasting them.
He's having a blast.
Yeah, it sounds like a great time.
Even the best detectives have to wonder.
What are they thinking about? I don't know.
What the monkey is thinking about?
Yeah, what is... Yeah, what?
He's trying to eat something.
Is she in the middle of her thought or does she keep going?
I don't know. Yeah, there's more.
Oh.
After 5 decades, something a pawn shop's never seen.
In my wildest dream, could not have dreamt that.
What are your wildest dreams? Be specific.
A smash and grab without the grab.
So just a smash?
Yeah, you just smash the keyboards.
smash some
chips and crackers.
Yeah, grab bag made of that by
far. Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
That's just a smash.
Yeah.
A smash and grab without the grab. But this hometown store is now back to normal.
It's just a great place to live.
What, the shop?
I guess.
Even with monkeys.
Even with monkeys. Right.
Tough finish, but they got
told
that story. And so, yeah, monkey broke in, ate some crackers, smashed a keyboard.
Smashed some keyboards.
Played some instruments.
Okay.
Yeah. Playing the drums.
Bunch of texts on the same wavelength about our first story, the naked man that broke in.
Yeah.
They said, did they use a sketch artist?
A lot of detail.
We have a lineup?
Yeah, we have a lineup.
We have a lineup here. So, ma'am, which one was this, sir? Which one was this?
Like, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Need to see a few more. It's none of these.
Bring in the sketch artist.
Bonnie Blue picks the guy out immediately.
We get a whole detective series for her. Sketch artist on a sticky pad for some of us is what they would do. So there you go. That is the madness, Kiefer Madness, every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keefe. Stay tuned. 617.
We come in the door about 8, probably 8:20, and it was a disaster.
We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Back into the Patriots and the Chargers. How sustainable, by the way, is the Pats' success beyond this season? We'll start mixing that in with your thoughts next.